Welcome to the worship services of Grace United Methodist Church on this beautiful Sunday morning. We're glad you're able to join with us. Again, we're coming to you from the Sanctuary of Grace on Harbison Boulevard here in Columbia, South Carolina. And we welcome all of you who have joined us over the internet and through Facebook and any other ways that you could connect with us. We are seeing your faces and we are rejoicing with you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Just a few announcements for this morning, just to bring everybody up to speed on a number of things. Our Seeds of Hope ministry began yesterday. A farmer showed up with a good bit of vegetables and fruits. We would invite you to come out and participate in this neighborhood ministry where we invite the neighborhood to come in and share the bounty that the farmer has to share with us. It goes from 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock every Saturday morning, rain or shine, under a picnic shelter in the back of our parking lot. And I'm sure the farmer and Grace would appreciate you coming by and saying hello. During the week, the pastor has been very faithful of sending out a devotion and announcements every day. If you're not getting those announcements, if you would please call the church office or send an email to the pastor, we'll make sure that you're on that list. If you don't have email, you can also call the pastor or the church office and we'll make sure you're getting those announcements. A big thank you to all who came out this morning to go downtown and help feed the hungry. I have not seen the numbers from this morning, but I know that that's a ministry that's always well-received downtown, and thank you especially to Michael for shepherding that and making sure that that happens every first Sunday. We have a number of opportunities for Grace and those of you who love Grace to participate in fellowship. It's an online fellowship, but if you're watching this at 8:30 on Sunday morning, there'll be a fellowship this morning at 10 o'clock. And again, the announcements that come out during the week will give you links towards those Zoom fellowships. Also, every Wednesday night at 6:30, we also get a chance to see your brothers and sisters in Christ that attend Grace or supporting Grace at this time. Come on out, and you know, it's very easy to do, and just join the conversation and enjoy some fellowship with your Grace members. We rejoice with all of you who have this month observed an anniversary or a birthday, especially Stephen and Julie and Richard and Sandra, an anniversary list, Dan and Debbie and George and Shara and Jennifer and Kathy. Got that one, Michael. Happy birthday to all of you. We see your faces. We wish you were here for us to sing happy birthday to. We know that we're singing in our hearts, and we wish you the best of days. Again, we are working towards having in-person worship. I'm sure the pastor will fill you in on that later. But just know that in the meantime, we celebrate with you and we worship with you. And now, if there are no further announcements, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us prepare our hearts, our minds, and our spirits for worship. Thank you.
And let us pray. Creator God, saving God, comforter God, speak to us. We are listening. Reveal to us, we are watching. Teach us, our hearts are open. Do it again, God, rush into this place, recreate us, redeem us, parent us. In your name, our 3-in-1 and 1-in-3 God. Amen.
On this Trinity Sunday, please join with me in singing hymn 64, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty.
A special good morning to the children who are worshiping with us this day. We praise God that you are with us and gathered together for worship this morning. And this morning, we want to just take a quick minute just to say congratulations to all of you who have finished up your schoolwork. School is officially over at this time. We praise God for the teachers, too, and that school is over. For the school year, we know it's been a very strange and hard way to end a school year, and we are very overjoyed that it is done now for you and that you have done the hard work and done what was necessary to get through to the end of this very strange school year and have made it to summertime. So congratulations on making it to the summer. And this morning, as we talk together, I've got one of my favorite toys. It's still one of my favorite toys. Yes, I still occasionally will build with Legos. Most of the Legos now live in Wyatt's room at my house, but I still like to build with Legos. I still love to play with Legos. These are some Legos that live in my office, and they used to build a calendar. But now some of the pieces are missing, so my calendar would be missing days, which might be a good thing every once in a while. But you could build a calendar out of these Legos, and I used to do that some in my office, and I might take up the practice again, but one of the reasons I love Legos, and maybe you've liked to play with Legos or other building toys, is it gives me something to build and create. It's right there in the name, to build a building toy. It lets us build and create something. It lets us use our imagination to come up with something new, to or to follow the instructions and build what was on the page, but to create something and to play and to be in the process of making something. And you see, I think that that's part of who we are. It's part of who God made us to be. Pretty much all of us is to create and play and do things that way every once in a while, to be in the work of creation. And we have that as a part of us because it's who God is. We hear and are going to hear from Scripture that God, the first thing we know about God is that God creates. God creates. And we hear that in the story from Genesis, and we're going to hear that in just a little while. But God creates the whole world. And at the end of creating the world, he creates us as human beings in God's image. In God's own image, God created us. And so I think that's why we have this this need, this desire, this inclination to like to build, to build with Legos, to build with other kinds of toys, maybe even to build with wood and nails or whatever it is, to build something, to create something. A lot of us hold on to that because it's a part of who we are and a part of how God created us. And one of the things when we build something, and we've done it from our imagination, or we've done it from instructions, or we've made something, we'll look at it, and then we'll have a chance to enjoy it, to think about the work that went into it, but also to just to maybe play with it, in the case of Legos, or in the case of some other kind of building toy, to play with it, to have fun with it, to enjoy it. And God does the same thing. After everything God creates, we're going to hear in our story, God looks at that creation, including us, and says, that's good. He looks at it and he goes, this is good. And at the end of creating everything, God looks at it and he says, this is good. And God enjoys it. God enjoys what God has created. God enjoys us as God's own creation. And we get to enjoy God because that's how he wants it to be. And so I want you to remember this day that God has created you good. And God has created you to want to play. And so when you take some time maybe today to play with some Legos or to play with some other kind of building toy at your house, I want you to remember that God also likes to create and God loves to build. It's part of who God is. And God looks and on what God has created and calls it good. All of us in this whole world. Would you pray with me? God, thank you for creating us and calling us good. Amen. This morning, as we prepare our hearts to go to God in prayer, as we lift our prayer concerns, I just want to remind you that if you have a prayer concern you would like to share with the church, please reach out to me. You can send me an email at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. You can reach out to me through the church office as well if you have specific prayer concerns you'd like added to our prayer list, which is in the bulletin, and you can access that on our website today if you'd like to see the full prayer list for Grace. And if you'd like to have something lifted in worship, you can also email me so that we can lift those prayer concerns in worship. We do have a prayer email. One of those daily emails that Sam mentioned is a prayer email. It has links back to the prayer list and also an opportunity to receive the prayers from Sunday if that's something that you would like, that would be helpful to you. Again, if you'd like to sign up for those daily prayer emails, you can email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org and stay connected with what we're doing and the things that are happening here at Grace. And at this time, let's go to God in prayer. Holy, holy, holy God, in calling forth creation from the void, revealing yourself in human flesh, and pouring forth your wisdom to guide us, you manifest your concern for the whole universe. You invite us as your people to gather the world's needs into our hearts and bring them before you. And so today we pray for all those who cannot leave their homes and apartments, especially this day for Miss Ernestine, Violet, Ed, Peter, Flora, June, Marion, Jeanette, and all who are highly vulnerable to COVID-19 and have to stay home. For all those suffering from other ailments for whom treatment is now more difficult and dangerous. For all those who are grieving for Donna Houston and her family as they memorialized her Aunt Marion yesterday. for Mary Mason as she prepares to move back to New Jersey to be closer to family. For Miss Jackie Daniel, for Caitlin Floyd, who had her gallbladder removed last week. For Mikey, Kristen, and Andrew. For Steve and Jody Webster. For Luther, Bill Cranford's father. For the Cranford family. For Rita Pardue. For Janice Seeley. For Cornell, Bobby, and Jane. John and Kay, Jeff and Will, who are all friends of the Cranfords. For the family and friends of Doug Brockhard at his passing. For all healthcare workers, our veterans and VA staff. And for all the members of Grace and their families, especially for John and Teresa Douglas and for Keenan Johnson during this time, as they are first responders and police officers serving in Columbia. We want to be in prayer for our nation and for the systemic racism and culture of white supremacy to be eradicated from our shared life together. Holy, holy, holy God, fill us with strength and courage, with discernment and compassion, that we may be your instruments of justice and love in this world, that it may be on earth as it is in heaven. And we continue to pray as Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Please join with me in singing, How Great Thou Art.
My God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. My soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou. Sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
This morning's scripture is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verses, all of chapter 1 and all up to the fourth verse of chapter 2. This reading is from the New Revised Standard Version, and it's entitled The 6 Days of Creation and the Sabbath. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a dome in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." So God made the dome and separated the waters that were under the dome from the waters that were above the dome. And it was so. God called the dome sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the sky be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the earth put forth vegetation, plants yielding seed and fruit trees of every kind on earth that bear fruit with the seed in it." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed of every kind, and trees of every kind bearing fruit with the seed in it. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be lights in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth." And it was so. God made the two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to give light upon the earth, to rule over the day and over the night, and to separate the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. And God said, "Let the waters bring forth swarms of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth and across the dome of the sky." So God created the great sea monsters and every living creature that moves of every kind with which the waters swarm, and every winged bird of every kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas, and let birds multiply on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures of every kind, cattle and creeping things and wild animals of the earth of every kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals of the earth of every kind, and the cattle of every kind, and everything that creeps upon the ground of every kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." God said, "See, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth, and to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all their multitude. And on the seventh day, God finished the work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all the work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because on it God rested from all the work that he had done in creation. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Amen. Today is Trinity Sunday. It's the Sunday when we remember and celebrate and think about what it means that God is three in one and one in three. And among the divine mysteries of God, the Trinity is perhaps the one that is most uncomfortable for us. It defies our logical, rational minds to think of three being one and one being three, especially in the incomprehensible totality with which we feel the Trinity claims, right? We can think of different ways of talking about the Trinity, but ultimately the Trinity represents God being three and one in three in such a complete kind of way that we can't actually grasp onto it. We can't hold on to it with the ways that we think about things. But the Trinity, nonetheless, is how we experience God. The Trinity is still, even though we can't explain it, even though we can't hold on to it or grasp hold of it with our minds, it's still the way we experience God with us. We've talked with Jesus. We felt our heart strangely warmed by the Holy Spirit. We hear the Father call us good, name us as a child of God, even when the world tells us otherwise. Trinity is how we experience God. We've known all of the persons of the Trinity moving in our lives, and we know them to be God. And herein lies the mystery. We know God to be three in one, one in three. We know it, but we cannot fully comprehend it. We cannot fully rationalize it. And we cannot fully explain it. Even the greatest theological minds still come up short in a full explanation of the Trinity. And that reality will not change after today's sermon. promise. The Trinity will remain a divine mystery. But that's exactly how it's supposed to be. See, on Trinity Sunday, our job in worship is not to explain the Trinity. We're not here to dig in to the Greek of the debates around what it means for the Trinity to exist and how it could possibly be one in three and three in one. We're not here to talk about all of that. Our job in worship on Trinity Sunday is to stand in awe and wonder of the God who is inexplicably three in one. To embrace the mystery and power of God to be as God is. There's a time and place to study the theology, the doctrine of the Trinity, but that's not here in worship. Instead, today we revel in our experience, remembering the places where God met us as we are, caring for us and bringing us into a fuller relationship with God as we walked and talked with Jesus, as we felt the power of the Holy Spirit flow in us and through us into the world, as we've known God as parent who cares for us and teaches us and brings us up in faith. And so as we celebrate the mystery of the Trinity this day, we've taken time to hear about who Scripture said God is from the beginning. We read the full passage, 1:1 through 2:4a, as it's described in the lectionary. We read the full first version of creation that's in Genesis. There is a second one that begins at chapter 2, but that's a different topic. We've heard what Scripture says God is, who Scripture says God is from the beginning, who God says God is from the beginning. The NRSV started us in this Scripture with "in the beginning," in the beginning. But the Hebrew isn't necessarily that specific. In fact, the Hebrew could be translated something more like "in beginning." Instead of "in the," we just have "in beginning." And I think that's important. I think it's helpful to think of it as "in beginning" because it takes the focus off of the beginning. When for some reason, as we've read this passage throughout our recent history as the church, when we read "in the beginning," as it's often translated, we get caught up there. And we start thinking about what does it mean to be the beginning. We focus all of our attention on the beginning when really the focus should be on God. And so I think it's more helpful right now for us to think of it as "in beginning," because that keeps the focus off of the beginning. It's "in beginning God created," and puts the focus back where it should be, on God. In beginning, God created. In beginning, God created. It puts our focus back on the God who creates in beginning, at first. So therefore, the first thing we're told about God from Scripture is that God creates. God creates at first by sheer force of will. This is one of the pieces that's in this text that's really kind of neat. The very first act of creation, when God creates the heavens and the earth, we're not told how God does that. All the rest of the creation, we're told how God does it, and we're coming to that in a minute. But this first one, we're not told how God does this creative act. We're just told that God does it. It just says, God, in beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. By sheer force of will, God brought this something out of nothing, formed the heavens and the earth into this new creation, into this creative ball of energy, this creative power, this creative place that God was going to continue working in. God brings it forth by sheer force of will. God creates heaven and earth. And then we hear that the wind, breath, or spirit of God swept over the face of the waters. That's that Hebrew word we've talked about before, ruach, that can mean wind, breath, or spirit. That wind, breath, or spirit of God swept over the face of the waters of creation, the waters of heaven and earth, the waters out of which all of this other creation would come. This holy wind, holy spirit of God was present there from the beginning, stirring up those waters of creation, the waters of the deep. And then God speaks the rest of creation into existence. This is that difference. The very first act of creation, creating heaven and earth, we're not told that God says anything to bring that forward. God just does it. God just creates it. But now that heaven and earth are formed and the Holy Spirit is over the face of the waters, now God speaks the rest of creation into existence. By God's word, light shines in the darkness. We shouldn't miss that God is speaking here, and its connection for us as Christians to John 1, where we hear that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and everything came into being through the Word. We shouldn't miss that the Word was with God, and here God speaks a word and everything comes into existence. By God's word, light shines in the darkness. The sky is separated from the earth. The dry land emerges from the waters of the deep. Vegetation springs forth. The sun and moon and stars are set in their places. Sea creatures and birds populate the seas and skies. Animals cover the earth, and human beings are made in their image, God says. God speaks God's holy word, and all of creation as we know it comes into existence, including us. And at that point, God forms us and makes us and brings humanity into existence, made in their image. God says, let us make them in our image. God uses the plural here, the plural to talk about God's own image. For us as Christians, we see this as a nod to who God is. Even from the beginning, God says, let us make them in our image. Image, our, the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are created in God's image. God, who is one in three and three in one. And wind is there, the Word is there, the Creator is there, and we are made in their image. And over all of it, at every place, at every point, God looks on what God has created and calls it good. Including us. God calls it good. This creation that God has made, this creation that God brings forth, this creation that God speaks into existence, this creation that God rushes over in God's holy wind and spirit. God calls it good. And because God calls it good, we can know and trust that God's creative activity never stops. God rests, but that's a part of creation and createdness and part of how God wants things to be, that Sabbath rest. But God's creative activity never has stopped in the world, because we know that the sending of the Son and the pouring out of the Holy Spirit are about recreation and transformation of God's good created cosmos, the whole universe being created and recreated, transformed into the kingdom of God. All of it is about continuing to work in this good creation, the soil that God has already made. It's about God continuing to work for this good creation to be what God wants it to be, to help it to grow and flourish and become what God would have it to be. All of these are creative acts, so that the whole story from beginning in Genesis to Revelation is the story of God who creates and recreates and transforms. It's the story of the God who wants this place to be all that God has intended for it, for this to be the site of God's kingdom. We pray it every week. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. We look for this place to be the site where things are right, where justice is made manifest in the world, where mercy is a part of the very fabric of creation, where compassion is rampant throughout the world, where everything is set right and in balance, where we care for the actual earth itself as well as one another. This is the place and the site that God is transforming and recreating, because it's the place that God begins when God creates the heavens and the earth and calls it good. God has not given up on it, and God has not given up on us. And the story that we hear is the story of the three-in-one God that we know from our own lives. This story of beginning to end, we feel echoed within us in the way God has dealt with us and the way God has interacted with us and the way God is still working on us to create and recreate and transform our lives, our very selves as part of creation, so that we can participate with God in making this place what God would have it to be, to help the kingdom to come, to work for the kingdom, so when the kingdom comes, it comes in fullness and in glory, so that we are actively pointing and being signs and foretastes of what is to come. God has worked in us and told a story through us of creation and recreation and transformation for us to tell the world, so that others might see this God who looks on all of it and calls it good, even in the face of all that has been broken by sin and death and wounded by our transgressions as human beings. God still looks and calls it good. God still looks and calls us good. And God continues to work on us to make us holy as Christ is holy, to have us be full of the Holy Spirit, to be emissaries for God's kingdom. So on this Trinity Sunday, when we've heard about who Scripture says God is from the beginning, we have an opportunity to celebrate who God is, to celebrate and remember how God has moved in our life, to remember that God is still transforming us and the world, making us new, and that means we can change. We can change our minds, we can change our perspectives. We can repent and confess and begin to move forward in our discipleship and in our life in the world. We can give up things that harm and things that separate us from God and from one another, and we can move forward in God's grace. And so as we think about the Trinity and celebrate the Trinity, we offer praise to God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, who invites us into God's life and story, showing us the truth of the mystery even as it remains a mystery. We celebrate the Trinity, that God meets us as God is and as we are, so that we might be pulled into fuller relationship, into deeper grace in God's life and in God's mission. Thanks be to God. Amen. Would you join with me as we affirm our faith this day using the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
As we prepare our hearts to give back to God through all that God has so graciously given to us, I want to remind you that we have online giving as an option. You can find that at our website, which is gracecolumbia.org. There's two online giving links right on the homepage, one on the left-hand side and one on the right-hand side towards the top. And so I encourage you to navigate on over if that's an option that works for you in giving to the mission and ministry of Grace. You can set up a recurring gift, you can give a one-time gift, you can give as a guest, or you can log in and create an account for yourself so that you can continue in your giving through our online system. There's also a way to text to give if that's more convenient for you, and you can find those instructions again on the website as to how to utilize the text to give option. You can also continue to mail in an offering to the church or bring it by and drop it in the mailbox outside the church office, and we can receive offerings all of those ways. As you're preparing and thinking about how you plan to give this day, I just want to remind you that we have a special giving opportunity for Guatemala, for the Guatemala Mission and missionary Luke Ree. They're seeking to raise money to be able to feed the people of Guatemala right now during the COVID-19 pandemic. Whereas, you know, we've seen some things hard to find at the grocery store. There are folks there in Guatemala, especially among the poor and poorest in that country, that are going just completely without food and can't find anything as supply chains have broken down. And so we want to be partnered with the Guatemala Mission and our missionary, Luke, and offer that. And so there are links to how to give to that in the email that goes out during the week, but you can also find it at the Columbia District website, the Columbia District of the United Methodist Church, as well as on their Facebook page. And so if you'd like to give, I encourage you to head over and be a part of giving towards this Guatemala mission. Want to offer a return to in-person worship update. This went out by email. Once again, if you'd like to join our email list so you can stay up to date on all of these updates, email me at pastor@gracecolumbia.org. But our return to in-person update, the return to in-person team met Tuesday night on June 2nd, and we are continuing to develop the specific procedures and policies related to our return to in-person activities, and those are going to be communicated as they are finalized. So we don't have specific procedures and policies yet, but what we have decided on for this return to in-person activities is a timeline for the first phase of our plan, which will be our return to in-person worship here in the sanctuary. So the first Sunday when the church will gather for in-person worship is going to be June the 28th. We'll begin with only the 8:30 a.m. service, but we will continue to stream our service at 11. And so you can still, if you're worshiping with us online on that Sunday, you'll still be able to worship with us either at 8:30 or 11. The streaming will continue at both those times. There's going to be limited seating for those who decide that they would like to come back to in-person worship. There's going to be limited seating to maintain social distancing according to guidelines from DHEC. And with our maximum number in attendance with the social distancing will be 33. We estimate that we'll be able to seat 33 while still social distancing. So before that date, on the 28th, as we know that soon we'll be allowed to begin having people back at the church for certain things. We're going to have training on June 14th, next Sunday, for volunteers who choose to serve in the new Sunday morning roles that we're going to need to be able to come back as safely as possible. We have some new roles that are going to be required ways that we need folks to step in to service and to mission and ministry on Sunday morning in order to be able to come back as safely as possible. So that training will happen on June the 14th. And then on June the 21st, we'll have a practice run-through of the new procedures and policies that we will be communicating, but we'll have a small run-through with a small group so we can test out those policies and procedures before we open it up to everybody on the 28th. So that run-through is going to, we hope, be photo-documented and then published so that those who plan to attend in-person worship we'll know what to expect on a Sunday morning. And so what I'm offering today is if you would like to volunteer to serve on Sunday mornings in one of our new roles, and some of those are welcome screener, welcome desk attendant, and usher. We're going to need designated people for all of those roles. And the usher will have a different kind of role than what our ushers have had in the past. We won't be collecting the offering plate. There's some new things, so I'm including that as a new role there. But if you're interested and would like to volunteer to serve in one of those Sunday morning roles, please let me know as soon as possible so I can get you the details about the upcoming training and run through in the next couple of weeks. So that is our return to in-person worship update. We hope that you will continue in prayer for that team as we continue to develop the right policies and procedures for Grace, and as we continue to move forward together towards actually being able to see people back in worship in person, even with our new way of worshiping in person. Would you go to God in prayer with me now? Almighty God, we offer our gifts in gratitude this morning, not just for what you do in our lives, but for who you are in our lives. You are with us in the person of the Father, God above us. You come to meet us as the Son, as God beside us. You empower us to do the work of kingdom building by the Holy Spirit, God within us, providing strength and boldness that we would never find on our own. May these gifts be tools that make the transformation of the world a reality. We pray in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Alleluia, alleluia. Praise God, the source of all our gifts. Praise Jesus Christ, whose power the Spirit, Holy Spirit, Alleluia, Alleluia, Alleluia.
Please join with me in singing All Things Bright and Beautiful.
All things bright and beautiful.
Our mission at Grace is to know Jesus and to make him known to others. Go therefore into the world ready to proclaim the mystery of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the ways that God continues to create, the way that God continues to create you, to recreate you, to transform your life so that you might be the disciple that God calls you to be. Go and tell others about this God that you know and that meets you as you are. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Sent forth by God's blessing, our true faith confessing, the people of God from this dwelling take thee. The service is ended, oh, now be extended, the fruits of our